had the special honor to introduce Reb David Heber.
Thank you. Thank you, my dear Mechutin Reb Nosson. It's always great to come to Parker Boulevard and spend time with our children, Shua and Mrs. Mishpacha and Reb Nosson. And Baruch Hashem, the Daf HaShavua Kanai Nahar is a beautiful, beautiful program, and it's a big covet to be part of it and to be able to address this sugya of Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf. What I'd like to do is talk about the general aspect of the luach. These, how the Gemara elaborates on how we make the luach that we have, and then have an appreciation for the international dateline, which really is nowhere on the daf that formally and officially mentions the international dateline. But as we will see, once we have an understanding of the Bala Maor's shita of how to learn the sugya, we will then understand exactly where the international dateline is according to the Chazon Ish, and then we'll get into other shittas and other shilas. So first, the Gemara addresses what's called being Mekadesh the Chodesh and Mekadesh the Shana al Pi Cheshbon. The way it was as you learn Rosh Hashanah, and again, even those not learning the Daf Shavuot, the shittas that we say in Rosh Hashanah are the basics, and that is, as we know, the Edom would come and they would come to Beis Din, and they would have the Jewish Hakira, and when they found that they were the Emes, the Beis Din would say Mekudesh, and the Sefer would say Mekudesh, Mekudesh. In the year 359 of the Common Era, so that's about 1500 years ago or so, more than 1650 years ago, they determined that Hil Hasheni, that there's no way we can continue to be Mekadesh al-Pi Re'iyah, we're going to be Mekadesh al-Pi Cheshbon, which means we can use the Cheshbonus. The Sanhedrin was disbanded. There was no way they knew they're not going to function. If you see it, they lasted almost 300 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni, but after that, they realized it's not going to happen. They were Mekadesh every month at Bias Goyal. And what Cheshbonus did they use in these calculations? And these Cheshbonus are very important because they determine when Rosh Hashanah is, when a Bar Mitzvah is, when Yom Kippur is. I should mention Aga, we're coming up on Hanukkah, that the Yavanim tried to stop Rosh Chodesh, and obviously they weren't successful because they knew Milah Fashtei, Shabbos of Fashtei, what Rosh Chodesh, what's so chash Rosh Chodesh? If they would have gotten Rosh Chodesh Loyalenu, then the whole Yom Taiva would be in a state of disarray, which would be a terrible thing. It's interesting, we will see that the month of Kislev is very important for establishing the calendar. Cheshvan and Kislev are 29, sometimes both 29 days, sometimes both 30 days, it could be 29, 30. The whole calendar is kavua in the month of Kislev. During Hanukkah, I think, because the Chashmonaim fought to keep the calendar, so on their Yontif, we actually still have the year so that we're able to have Rosh Hashanah in the proper Zman. Al Kaponim, the calendar Al Pi Cheshbon works as follows, really based on the situs of this Gemara. The main rule is you have a Milan. What is a Milan? A Milan is a new moon. Every month, the moon goes around the earth. It takes 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes, and one chalik. A chalik is equal to 3 1/3 seconds. Therefore, there are 18 halakim in a minute. You'll know if you're paying attention to the Gabbai, this past Shabbos, you heard there were no halakim. That happens every 18 months. Because what happens is next month, when they announce the Milan for Teves, it's going to be one chalik. Shvat will be two halakim. Because again, 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes, and a chalik. So that chalik column keeps going up one every month. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In a year and a half from now, that chalik column will hit 17. Then it'll hit 18. 18 chalakim is a minute. So the minute column gets an extra minute, and the chalik column goes back to zero again. The chalakim at the top of the hour, with no minutes and no chalakim, you'll think the Gabbai made a mistake. It happens every 87 years. It happened every 87 years. No chalakim, no minutes and no chalakim. It happened last in 2004. It'll happen next in 2092, where Mamish, the time is exactly on the top of the hour. So now, the Maylad, the Iker Maylad of the year, is the Maylad of Tishrei. When the Maylad of Tishrei occurs, that establishes Shavuos is Rosh Hashanah. It's ironic that that's the one milah we don't announce, because we're not the Kaddish, the Chodesh Tishrei. My father Shalom used to say, they tell me they're Mekaddish in Shamayim, so we don't announce that milah. But the way the calendar works is really very simple. You take the milah of Chodesh Tishrei of this year, you take the milah of Chodesh Tishrei of next year, which is going to be 12 months, 12 cycles of 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes of one chelik, which is equal to 354 days, 8 hours, and 876 halakim. And now you're able to now calculate when is Rosh Hashanah going to be next year. Once you know that, you then determine how many days does the year have to be. So let's take this year for example. The way the milah fell out this year, and we're going to get into exactly when the milah occurs and how that interacts with the day of Rosh Hashanah. But whenever the milah occurred, it occurred that Rosh Hashanah should occur on Thursday. Next Rosh Hashanah, Habalin El Taiva, Tafshin Ayin Tes, the milah falls out in a way that Rosh Hashanah has to be on a Monday. How do you make a year where Rosh Hashanah this year is on a Thursday and next year is on a Monday? The answer is you make a 354 day year, because if you add up all the days, you'll see if the year starts on a Thursday, you have 50 weeks. So Thursday is you have 50 weeks, then you have Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, 354 days. The year is 354 days. How is the year 354 days? Cheshvan is 29 days. Kislev is 30 days. If you needed 355 days, you would have Cheshvan and Kislev both 30 days. If you need 353 days, then Cheshvan and Kislev are 29 days. That is why you have this ebb and flow of Cheshvan and Kislev. And that's it. Once Kislev is done, the calendar is smooth sailing. You then have Shvat is 30 days, others 29 days, Nisan is 30 days. That happens all the time in every year. So the Ikar Mailat is the Mailat of Tishrei. You would determine Rosh Hashanah. Once you determine Rosh Hashanah, you can determine Cheshvan and Kislev, and the whole year is plugged in. There are only 14 types of years, possible years, meaning combinations of how Pesach falls, how Rosh Hashanah falls, how Pesach falls. That's it. You look in Siddurim, you'll see sometimes letters. There's a simonim of what the year is. This year is called the Hei Chav Zayin. It's the beginning of every Luach. Hei Chav Zayin means Rosh Hashanah was Thursday. It's a Kisidron, which means Cheshvan is 29 days, Kislev is 30 days, and then Pesach is going to be on the Shabbos. Once you have those three letters, the whole year falls into place. Your birthday, your bar mitzvah, with the Parshiyos, Purim, Pesach, Sukkot, everything falls into place. You could figure out statistically, but there's no Seder. It's all based on how many days does this year need.
Now, when do we want the next Rosh Hashanah?
Correct. We're planning next Rosh Hashanah now in Kislev. Next Rosh Hashanah has to be on, based on when the Milut falls out, Al Pi Cheshvan, it has to fall out on a Monday. The only way Rosh Hashanah next year is going to be on Monday is by putting a 30th day of Kislev in right now. When you come to Rosh Chodesh Kislev, and you have that 30 days, the purpose, you wouldn't have that 30th day, Rosh Hashanah will be on a Sunday, and we'll see in a moment that's a problem, which is also the sugya over here, because we'll have the rice, right? We'll see that. So we got to make sure that Rosh Hashanah works out properly. Now, the sugya, so because the Milut, it was the Milut is, let's say, Monday, or Sunday, as we'll see in a moment. But let's say, for argument's sake, right now, if the Milut falls out Monday, Rosh Hashanah has to be Monday. No, because that's, they're trying to, in Chazal, in the Cheshbonos, they're trying to imitate what would have happened if it would be Mekadosh Al Pi Re'iyah. Because we want a semblance of what would have been if it would have been Re'iyah. Adam would have come. When would Adam come? Well, when the Milut happens. Okay, Milut occurs on Monday, so that means Rosh Hashanah is going to be on Monday. And therefore, that's when it has to come out. Now, the Gemara talks about rules, and that is, this Gemara is one of the two Gemaras at the base of Le'ad Rush. That was the Yud Tesamah Beis and Chaf. And that's as follows. We just said the way the year works is whatever the Milut is Rosh Hashanah. But not so fast. The Gemara says like this. We don't want to allow, the Sugya says, we don't want to allow Rosh Hashanah to fall out on a Wednesday or a Friday, because then Yom Kippur is going to be on a Friday or Sunday, and Mishum Masiel, Mishum Yarkia, which means if somebody dies and Yom Kippur is a Friday, you can't bury the mace for 2 days. It's Pizah mace. If you can't cook properly. So, or just to give a simple example that relates to us, if Yom Kippur was a Friday, how would your bench lift for Shabbos? You can't bench lift on Yom Kippur Friday. You'd be stuck. That's just one. How would you make the challenge? You have all sorts of problems. If Yom Kippur is on a Sunday, you'd have all sorts of problems. So to avoid this, Chazal created the rule of Le'ad Reish. So it can't be on a Wednesday to avoid Yom Kippur on a Friday. It can't be on a Friday so that Yom Kippur is not on a Sunday. The Gemara Sukkah speaks about it can't be on a Sunday because then Yom Kippur is a Tuesday. That's not a problem. The problem is Hashana Rabbah would be on a Shabbos. To avoid Hashana Rabbah, Chazal were careful to make sure Hashana Rabbah, which is only a minig, the Nevi'im, if we fall on Shabbos, people would forget the next year. You'd come to Shul and you'd say, the way Tyson and Mavard is, you'd say, we don't take a Shabbos here. We didn't do it last year. No one's going to remember that it was because it was Shabbos. So we push off. Rosh Hashanah cannot be on a Sunday. So what does it mean? What does Le'adu Reish mean? We know that rule as you know, since we're kids. But why would Rosh Hashanah be on Adu? Adu again is Aleph, Aleph, Vav, Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. Why would it be on a Sunday? You know why? Because the Milah falls on a Sunday. The moon goes around the earth. The moon, you can't tell the moon, listen, Le'adu Reish, you know, the Milah can't be Sunday. The moon goes around and it's systematically. And the Milah, this number is an average number. And therefore it happens. So if the Milah occurs on a Sunday, Rosh Hashanah is pushed off to the next day. That's what Le'adu Reish means. The Milah is Sunday. We cannot allow Rosh Hashanah to be on a Sunday because of the problem of Hashanahs. Rosh Hashanah is pushed off to Monday. Rosh Hashanah cannot be on a Wednesday. If the Milah falls on a Wednesday, we can't have that because Yom Kippur is going to have a problem. We push off Rosh Hashanah to Thursday. Now think about it. Oh, Rosh Hashanah is pushed off. It's more than Rosh Hashanah. It's the whole year. Because in order for that to happen, to push off Rosh Hashanah from Wednesday to Thursday means the previous Cheshvan or Kislev has to be an extra day, which pushes off the entire calendar. Purim is a day later. Pesach is a day later. Shavuot is a day later. Bar Mitzvah is a day later. Everything prior. Everything gets pushed off all the way until the upcoming Cheshvan. So all of this, that is the understanding and the true meaning of Le'adu Reish is to avoid the Rosh Hashanah, the Milah falls out on one of these days, is to avoid Rosh Hashanah falling out then. We're going to get the time of day. We'll talk about that in a moment. That's really the basis of the daylight. I should just mention that Rosh Hashanah, therefore, could be on four possible days in a week. It could be on a Monday, it could be on a start on a Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, or Shabbos. It's interesting. The years, did you ever wonder, Purim on a Friday, Pesach on a Sunday, it's always happened the same year, 4 weeks apart. Purim a Friday, Pesach on a Sunday. Did you ever notice that doesn't happen that frequently? Granted, it happened in between 2000 and 2010, it fell out three times. That's extremely rare. You can go 20 years. It happened in 1954. It didn't happen until 1974. It happened. It'll happen in 2025. It doesn't happen until 2045. It happened in 1930. It didn't happen until 1950. Right? It happened in 1930, 1950, 1954, 1974. You remember, she had huge gaps where it didn't happen. Why? Why is that? The answer is, think about it. If the Milah of Tishrei, to Rosh Hashanah to be on a Thursday, you have 2 days the Milah could fall out, Wednesday or Thursday. Rosh Hashanah is Thursday. You have two chances, 2 days. If the Milah is Friday or Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos. You have two chances. If the Milah is Sunday or Monday, Rosh Hashanah is Monday. So two chances. What makes Rosh Hashanah on a Tuesday? The Milah has to be on Tuesday. Right, it has to be Tuesday. We'll see in a moment. It's basically a 24-hour gap. It's less than that. No, because in other words, if the Milah occurs on Sunday, when is Rosh Hashanah? Le'adu Reish. Rosh Hashanah is Monday. If the Milah is on Monday, when is Rosh Hashanah? Monday. So Rosh Hashanah Monday has two days. Sunday or Monday. So there's a 2 out of 7 chance. And all the days of the week have a 2 out of 7 chance. I'm rounding up because there's some other Cheshbonis here that I don't have time to get into. So it's not exactly that. To be Tuesday, it only has 1 in 7 chance. And the emphasis is there's other Cheshbonis that make it even less than 1 in 7.
Because
if the Milah is on Monday, Rosh Hashanah is on Monday. If the Gemara is on Tuesday, then Rosh Hashanah is on Tuesday. So it's a 1 in 7 chance that therefore Rosh Hashanah is on Tuesday. When Rosh Hashanah is on Tuesday, the previous Pesach is a Sunday. The previous Purim is a Friday. That's why Purim on Friday is so infrequent, because it's only a 1 in 7 chance, not a 2 in 7 chance. And again, the 1 in 7 chance is even smaller based on some other rules of the Luach. Correct, same thing. Rosh Hashanah on Tuesday and Pesach on Sunday happen the same year. In other words, Rosh Hashanah, when Pesach is on Sunday, the following Rosh Hashanah is on a Tuesday. So it's interesting, when it happens, 2021 is the next time it'll happen. It's Purim Shulish, right? That's, you have 3 days of Purim in Yerushalayim, because Purim is a Shusha, Purim is a Shabbos, but that's very rare. Now that we know, and in Ibru Yar, I should mention parenthetically, that a leap year is a 90-year cycle, which again, we don't have time to get into, but in the 90-year cycle, 7 of the 90 years is an Ibru Yar, and you do the same thing with the Maalid. You calculate Rosh Hashanah this year, you calculate Rosh Hashanah next year, 13 months later, and then you do the same thing. The year's either 383, 84, 85. What's that?
You don't know
that anymore. Well, you do. The Maalid is an average time. So the Maalid goes by average. Since Prius Oilam, the day Adam Arisha was created, the Maalid occurred at 8 a.m. on that Friday morning. When Adam Arisha was created, that, the way we count years, is year number 2, and the Prius Oilam was year number 1, Chafael, according to this Cheshvan. We counted 8 a.m. That's the, when you said, when the Gabbai announced the Maalid, so this past, it was, I think, 1257 months of Shabbos, if you sat and went back month and a month and a month all the way to Bris Islam, you'll see that Adam Arisha was created. The Adam Arisha, the middle of the day Adam Arisha was created, was at 8 a.m. on Friday. And you go all the way back, if you do the Ibru Yars and so on. Yes, but the moon, but Lav Dafkin was created in Shasa Maila. Right? There are 7 Ibru Yars. Okay, so Shas Tayu is a fictitious year, which is the year before Prius Olam. That's simply because that's called year 1, and we need that as a starting point. Right? As always. No, because it was Melech Tov, there was no world yet. That's why it's called Melech Tov. It was Tev Avo. It's just a number. It's a theoretical number to help make the proper calculations. Ibru Yar is year number 3, 6, 8, 11, 14, 17, and 19. This year is year number 2 of the 19-year cycle. This is year number 2. Fine. Okay, so now that I know Rosh Hashanah, I know the Maalid, I know the importance of the Maalid, I know the importance of establishing what Rosh Hashanah is, now we can talk about the Baal HaMeor. The Rambam calls these Tchiyos, which means the Maalid occurred on Sunday, you're Docha, you push off Rosh Hashanah to the next day. The Maalid occurred on Friday, you're Docha Rosh Hashanah to Shabbos. You push it off. The Tchiyos is to push. The Gemara, in this discussion of how long it takes to see the moon, 18 hours, 24 hours, that sugya, the Baal HaMeor learns as follows. The Baal HaMeor understands, and really the Pashat of the sugya at least, is that it's talking about another dechia. And that is the dechia known as a Maalid Zakein. A Maalid Zakein means the Maalid occurs at 12 noon or later. Because we've been saying something that's really, until this point, it's not 100% accurate. We said the Maalid is on Monday, Rosh Hashanah is on Monday. The Maalid is on Tuesday, Rosh Hashanah is on Tuesday. That's not 100% accurate. So Gemara says, and this is what sugya means, and Baal HaMeor is going to explain why, and that's going to be the basis of the dayline. And that is, the Gemara needs to say, if the Maalid occurs at 12 noon or later, then Rosh Hashanah is pushed off to the next day. It's called a Maalid Zakein. It's an old moon. So Lamashal, if the Maalid occurs at 1 p.m. on Monday, so you say, on Monday, great. That works. No, doesn't work. Rosh Hashanah is pushed off to Tuesday. The Maalid occurred too late in the day to establish Rosh Hashanah. Now, before we get to the Baal HaMeor, we could just say very simple, why? What's that? This is a cheshbon. Alavim Bashir was in the basic of the Zashkayim. This is cheshbonus. Right? No, this is today. Nowadays, we're looking at charts. No Edom, right? No, this is all Alpi Cheshbon. When the Edom came, part of it was understanding that, but we want to imitate. Had there been a Beis Din, what would have happened? That's what we're trying to do over here. So think about it. When the new moon occurs, what is the moon? The moon passes between the sun and the earth. Now a lot of times it's higher or lower, but it goes on the same connected, so to speak. An eclipse, a solar eclipse, will always occur on or around before Rosh Chodesh, because that's what a solar eclipse is. The moon goes to sun, solar eclipse, Rosh Chodesh, right? It's because the moon was directly aligned with the sun and the earth, and therefore sometimes mamish is right at the same level, and therefore the sun gets blocked. That's what happens by an eclipse. But every month, the moon passes directly. If you'd be a bird's eye view of the three celestial bodies, you'd be able to see them lined up. Just the moon is higher, so if you're on earth, you're still able to see the sun. Correct. And therefore, you get able to see the sun, even b'shas ha'malach. But sometimes it's a direct bullseye, and therefore it blocks the sun, and you can't see the sunlight. So now, not like this. You don't see the Milan right away, and you know this. You go outside on Rosh Chodesh night, you typically won't see the new moon. Why not? Because it takes time. Because the moon passes between the earth and the sun. But it's such a small sliver, such a tiny sliver, that you can't, right? Such a tiny sliver, you can't see it. How long does it take?
Milan means that you can see anything.
Technically, well, the moon is a split second. In other words, the moon gets bigger. The 15th of the month, it's the biggest barakh. Then it gets smaller. There's only a split second where they're directly aligned. So it's like crossing a finish line, right? In other words, when you cross, the best you can think about is the moon when it's technically visible. It's all the same. When you cross the finish line, it takes an instant. That's what's happening. There's a finish line. So it's smaller. For a split second, it's zero, and then it starts up again. But you can't see it right away.
Isn't there 24-hour
blackout period? That's the sugya. Hold on. Nowadays, it takes Be'erach about 15 hours to see if you're in the right place, in the best scenario, best weather conditions, the best place. Take about 15 hours with a telescope, I think about 13. Be'erach might be off a little bit, but that's Be'erach what it is.
To see
after the Shasta Mailan. So also, there's also a gap of time. Right, but enough a gap of time.
She says 6 hours.
Correct. So Rashi learns it takes 6 hours, but the Baal Meor says it takes 24 hours. Right. The Baal Meor says it takes 24 hours, and here's the Baal Meor's shot. And this we have to look at the math. Rashi says 6 hours. So Rashi has all different shot in the sugya. The Baal Meor says like this. Here's the rule of Baal Meor. We're going to say this briefly because this is going to be the jumping of step to the international day line. The Baal Meor says two statements that are necessary to know. Number one, as long as somebody in the world is able to see the new moon on that day, local time, then Rosh Hashanah can be that day. That's rule number one. Rule number two is it takes 24 hours to see the Milan. And that's it. It takes 24 hours to see the Milan, and as long as somebody can see the new moon that day, Rosh Hashanah is good enough. Now think about it for a minute. If the Milan occurs at 8 a.m. on Monday, it takes 24 hours to see. Nobody in Shalayim is going to see the new moon on Monday. They're not going to see it until Tuesday, theoretically Tuesday, 8 a.m. in theory. So what does Baal Meor mean? The answer is, but one second, as long as somebody in the world sees the new moon on Monday, it's good enough. If you travel westbound, if the Milan occurs at 8 a.m. on Monday, well, what time was it in Baltimore when that Milan occurred? It was 1 a.m. on Monday. And if you keep going further west to Los Angeles, it was at 10 p.m. on Sunday night. So technically, the Shas HaMilan, you have an entire world to see this new moon. Talk to Baal Meor like this. There's what's called the Ksav Mizrach. Ksav Mizrach is the eastern point of the world. Ksav Mizrach is the eastern point of the world. If you look, Yerushalayim, where it's 12 noon, you go, the Baal Meor learns the eastern point of the world is 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. What does 6 hours east mean? So think about it. Europe is 6 hours east of the United States. Right? What time is it in Europe right now? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. That same distance, 6 hours to the east, or we call it 90 degrees to the east, that is the eastern part point of the world. That's what the Baal HaMor says. That line is what we call the Chazon Ish, is what we call the Chazon Ish line. Now we're going to see the Chazon Ish is going to modify this line. But the Baal, this Baal HaMor is really what we have listed on this map. You guys should have a map here of the Chazon Ish. And that is the eastern part of the world. It's also, right, it's also the western part of the world, right? It's the western tip. It's the western tip of the world, depending on which direction you go. If you travel east, then it's 6 hours later. If you travel west, it's going to be 18 hours to the west, because the world is round. The world is round. So this line runs through a city called Chengchun, China. That's where the city is. And also Rolina, Australia. Right? Chazanish's line. That's the Baal HaMor's line. And he says like this. Zakta Baal HaMor like this. If a person travels all the way to the west, right? He's traveling all the way to the west. If the time of the Milad is 11 a.m. on Monday, now think about this. The Milad occurs at 11 a.m. on a Monday. But people, where it says the word Ish, in the word Chazon Ish, right? That's Hong Kong area. Or the eastern suburbs of Changchun, right? Which is the west of Japan. What time is it? Well, it's 18 hours earlier. So again, the Milad occurs at 11 a.m. on Monday. What time is it on the eastern suburbs of Changchun? It's 18 hours back. What time is 18 hours back? If it's 11 a.m. is the Milad, what's 18 hours before 11 a.m.? Monday. It's 11 a.m. Yerushalayim time. Yerushalayim time, 11 a.m.
That very moment. That very moment, 18 hours.
Correct. Just like right now, if we're standing here, it's 5 p.m. Right, exactly. But if we're standing here 18 hours behind us, if you had a muckum that's 18 hours behind us, it would be 18 hours ago, right? It would be, whatever it makes, it would be 3 a.m. Early Thursday morning. So Zakta Baal HaMor, there's this place where, again, the Milad occurs at 11 a.m. It's in the east suburb of Changchun. Again, I keep saying east suburb, I'm talking about the western part of the world. The time is 5 p.m. What day is 5 p.m.?
Yesterday.
Sunday. It's Sunday, 5 p.m., right? If it's 11 a.m. in Yerushalayim, 11 a.m. in Yerushalayim on Monday, and there's a place 18 hours back, so it's 5 p.m. Sunday. Okay, now it takes 24 hours to see the new moon. So people in Changchun are going to see the new moon 24 hours later, which is 5 p.m. on Monday. So let's go back to the Baal HaMor's other question. Is there anybody in the world who's going to see the new moon on Monday? The answer is yes. The people in the eastern section of Changchun. And therefore, they technically could go to the Beis Din. Had there been a Beis Din and there been a Sanhedrin, there are people that could have gone into a Sanhedrin in Changchun and gone, and they say, what'd you see? Where'd you see it? The Kurz Bakudish. And therefore, if the Milad occurs even at 11:59 a.m., it's okay. But now let's see the Milad Zakeh.
How many hours in the entire world?
Well, 24. In other words, there's 24. And in today's world, there's really 26 time zones, which is a Shmakish Musa in its own right. But not for, that's just based on what different countries decided how they want to do time zones.
24.
But in theory, time zones are really based on, the concept of time zones are every 15 degrees is another time zone. So Philadelphia is the central part of the eastern time zone, and just near St. Louis, east of St. Louis, is the central time zone, and that's a line, and the time zones work with 7.5 degrees on each side. But technically, every time you go 15 degrees, everything's happening an hour later. So that's why LA, which is 45 degrees west of us, is everything is 3 hours later. The sun comes up 3 hours later, and so on. Now, there are other factors with sunrise, but that's the basics. So now, let's get to the Milad Zakeh. The Milad, let's do a simple example. 1 p.m. Monday. The Milad occurs at 1 p.m. What time is it in Changchun? So it's 18 hours back. that's 7 p.m. Sunday night. 7 p.m. Sunday night is halachically Monday already. Right? If you wrote a ksuba, it would say, B'Sheni B'Shabbos. 24 hours later, it's 7 p.m. on Monday night. So let's go to Balmore's question. Is anybody in the world going to see this Maylad on Monday? No.
7 p.m.
No. 7 p.m. is already Monday. Monday night. It's halachically Tuesday. Is there anybody in the world that's going to see the Maylad on Yom Sheni? The answer is no. So we push Rosh Hashanah off to the next day. And it's the next day. Well, we use average. In other words, the Maylados use average time. 6 p.m. is average. And that's so we don't go into Shkia. We just say 6 p.m. is average. It's not Rosh Hashanah anyway. It's that time of year. So that's this Yisayin. That's the Yisayin of the Maylad Zaken. If the Maylad occurs after 12 noon, nobody in the world, even the westernmost suburbs, will be unable to see the new moon. What's that?
12
noon of any day. In other words, well, if it's a Wednesday, we don't need a Maylad Zaken because it's Le'ad Rosh. So if it's 12 noon on a day that should have, 12 noon Shabbos, if the Maylad occurs at 11:59 a.m. on Shabbos, then Rosh Hashanah Shabbos. If the Maylad occurs 1 minute later, at noon, 12 noon to 12:01, 12:02, the Rosh Hashanah is pushed off 2 days, because Sunday will have the Reish.
So if it's 24 hours,
they're not 24 hours before us. They're later than us. You can't, right? You can't. No, so that's what Balmore says. In other words, because he holds that. So he, but basically, what the Balmore is saying, now we can jump for a minute. Now that we have that Tchiyah, now what is the Balmore really telling us? He's telling us that there's an international dateline. Because what the Balmore just said, Derech Agav, is that there's a line of Ksam Mizrach and Ksam Ma'ariv. There's a line that is 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim, and that same line is 18 hours west of Yerushalayim. Or put differently, let's assume for a moment there is a two streets in the city of Changchun. One street is called Forshe, and one street is called 306. Just happens to work out that way. Okay, this is the only fictitious part of the shir. Those two streets. We're pretending, though, there are two streets in Changchun. I just don't know their names. But let's assume for a moment there's two streets. Right? Yeah. There's 306 and Forshe. Okay, now think about it. Forshe is, and then the date line, and the Harabayas, if you go 90 degrees, quarter of the world from the Harabayas, you'll end up with a line that runs right through this shul. Right between this shul and my machut. Right? That's where the line is. That's where the line is. So think about it. Forshe is 6 hours east of Yerushalayim. 306 is 18 hours west of Yerushalayim, which means that different days of the week. Which means, what we're saying over here, we're on the Forshe side over here. So over here, it's 9 p.m. on Thursday night. But on 306, it's 9 p.m. on Wednesday night. It's yesterday. Because there are the lines over here. That's really the Baal Mor is telling me there's a line. So let's step back a minute. What is the international dateline? What is the international dateline? So there's a civil dateline that's on the map. That dateline runs roughly the opposite side of London, 180 degrees. And that line but zigzags to avoid land. And it cuts between Alaska and Siberia. It actually runs between two islands. There's two islands. There's Big Diomede and Little Diomede. One Big Diomede is Russia, Little Diomede is the United States. Then it cuts down and it takes a little zigzag through Kiribati, around Kiribati, because Kiribati didn't want to have 2 days in a week. And then it runs east of New Zealand. If you're on the right side of the dateline, like Hawaii and Alaska, then that's the western part of the world. When you cross the dateline, what's happening is you go a day ahead. If you go from Alaska to Siberia, if you go from Little Diomede to Big Diomede, you go from Alaska to Siberia, you turn your clock up 24 hours. But where does Halacha put the dateline? So the Chazon Ish said, you see from the Baal Meor, that it runs through China and Australia. And therefore, that's the line, not like the civil dateline. Which means, according to the Chazon Ish, in the Baal Meor, Japan is not. It's not the same day of the week as Eretz Yisrael. Japan is on the American side of the dateline, which means in Japan, when they say it's Sunday, it's really Shabbos, according to the Chazon Ish. Because it's on is on the right side of the dateline. Now, Chadish tells us one other thing from the Yisrael Olam. Yisrael Olam said, he was a Talmud in a rush, you can't have a dateline run through land. Because if you would, let's use our example of Changchun and Forshe in 306, you'd have a fascinating ability to, number one, you could keep 2 days of Shabbos. You would start Shabbos on Forshe. By Shalshunis, you would walk to 306, where they're just saying Kabbal Shabbos, because they're the western end of the world. And if you're an accountant, and you're busy in tax season, so you spend Friday in Forshe, Friday afternoon by Mincha time, you close your computer and you walk to Forshe. And you walk to Forshe where they're singing Askinus Dasa and B'nai Chola. And they're finishing Shabbos. You have an hour of Shabbos. And then, right? You have an hour of Shabbos. And then you're done. And then you go back to work. So you can't have that. The Sadhguru says you can't have such a thing. And therefore, the Chazanish's line runs around Siberia, around Russia, and around Australia. And that's the dotted line that is technical, but the line is runs around. According to the Chazanish, in Japan and New Zealand, when they say it's Shabbos, it's really Friday. When they say it's Saturday, it's really Friday. When they say it's Sunday, it's really Shabbos. Now, Rabbi Chaim Kotovetschinsky argues. Rabbi Chaim Kotovetschinsky holds that Yerushalayim is the center of the world, and the dateline runs on the opposite extreme of Eretz Yisrael. That line, I have on the chart, Rabbi Kotovetschinsky line, it actually runs through a city of central Alaska, interestingly enough, and then it goes down through the Pacific Ocean. According to Kotovetschinsky, correct, the argument of Balamor, he's a quarter of the globe away from the Balamor. And now, according to the Rebbe Kotovetschinsky, Hawaii is on the other side of the dateline. Because look at the map. And right now in Los Angeles, it's 6 p.m. Thursday. Hawaii is 4 p.m. They say it's 4 p.m. Thursday. According to the it's 4 p.m. Friday. They're not 5 hours behind us. They're 19 hours ahead. So it's 9 p.m. now. 19 hours ahead means it's 4 p.m. Friday. They should be getting ready for Shabbos. And therefore, Shabbos there is going to be in 2-3 hours, according to Kotovetschinsky. And therefore, when you travel to Hawaii, Japan, or New Zealand, you want you to ask a Shaila when to keep Shabbos. If you're in Japan or New Zealand, you may have to keep. Some people are not even do deraisas. Don't do deraisas on Sunday in Japan. Don't do deraisas on Friday in Hawaii because of this issue. Right? So one should ask a Shaila as far as exactly where the dateline is. The other interesting issue, and there are other shitas, what we call the Mid-Pacific Paiskim. Those are Paiskim that run the dateline, say, tip Siberia, or have other areas where the dateline runs. Now, there's another issue with the dateline, which is fascinating, Shiloh. And that's as follows. Now that we know where the dateline is, we create a whole scenario of issues. The most common issue, and the travel over the dateline is now more than ever. You know, it used to be that episode businessman who went once in a while, but today it's so regulous. People fly to the Far East, they fly to Australia. It's so much more common. And you run into the following shot. So you can say, okay, this year's not again me because I'm not going to New Zealand, I'm not going to Japan, I'm not going to Hawaii. But if you are traveling over the dateline, wherever you're going, you run into the following Shiloh. And that's as follows. Let's say you're in Hong Kong and you're on United Airlines flight 862. I don't know if that flight still exists, but it's United flight leaves 11:30 a.m. Thursday morning. It lands in Los Angeles at 9:20 a.m. on Thursday morning. So the question is, one second, how did I go back in time? The answer is because you crossed the dateline. In other words, put the dateline aside for a minute. Let's just analyze the flight. When you fly from here to Israel, you take off on a Monday afternoon. What happens? So sun goes down, sun comes up. And then you land in Eretz Yisrael. That's what's happening here. You take off from Hong Kong. The sun rises. There's the sun. It's 11:30 a.m. Sun goes down. Sun comes up. You land in Los Angeles. There's only one difference. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, you land tomorrow. When you go from Hong Kong to L.A., you're crossing the dateline, and therefore they're announcing, turn your clocks back 24 hours. So at some point in the flight, let's say it was 8 p.m., you're traveling east. You're traveling east. Los Angeles, you're traveling Hong Kong, right? To Asia, right? China to LA. You're traveling east. At some point in the flight, you know, let's say, for argument's sake, you're going at 8 p.m. Monday night, and all of a sudden it's 8 p.m. We flew on a Thursday. You take off on Thursday, it's Thursday at 8 p.m., and all of a sudden it's Wednesday at 8 p.m., and then you fly through the night, and you land in L.A. at 9:20 a.m. So here's what happens. You're down at Shackleton in Hong Kong, you get on the plane, you land in L.A., or before you land, the sun comes up, you have to have a chakras or not. So on one hand, one could say, well, the sun rose. So that's Dhamma chakras. On the other hand, I Dhamma chakras Thursday morning in Hong Kong. I already Dhamma Thursday morning chakras. When you take off from this flight from Hong Kong, the flight takes off 11:30. You can have a mincha on the plane 2 hours later. That's Thursday mincha. You're back at shul already in L.A. on Thursday afternoon. You daven mincha again. So on one hand, I experienced a new sunrise and sunset. So this is a machlokes hapaiskim. The Emek Tshuva, the Chelek Pesim and Vav, holds that nope, you don't have to do anything. You already daven, and you don't have to do anything. This is the shita of Reb Scheinberg, Reb Chaim Kanevsky, Reb David Feinstein, Rav Aaron Feldman, Rav Shimon Yisrael holds, you know, I daven already Thursday, so you're going to sit Yeshua Bottle. No, you daven in Hong Kong, chakras, you daven on the plane, you land in LA, you have to daven. You don't have to go to chakras, you don't have to go to Mincha. Be'ilich Kisa, the Shuvas Tzela Chachma, Chelek A, Tzimikuk Gimel, as well as Rav Yashiv, Tzatzal, Rav Heinemann goes like this as well, says, one second, no, you go by your own sunrise. It cycles of sunrise and sunset. You boarded the plane, the sun set, you got down married. The sun rose, you got down Shabbos. So we have Mamish Gedolei HaOlam over here who argue how to handle this. Some people will say, daven at Tanai Nadava. And that is, at least for Shemon Esrei, it was daven again, but say, look, if halacha is, then I'm a chliyus to daven again, then I'm davening. If halacha is not, then I want this to be in the Nadava, and you're maisif in Rifaidu, and that's how you do it. If you fly westbound, you have the other child's the opposite way. Let's look at a westbound flight. You could fly from Vancouver to Hong Kong. You take off at 3 p.m. Sunday, you land at 7 p.m. on Monday. The flight is all day. You take off at 3 p.m. Day. Never, sun never goes down. The sheikhs that hold you go by yourself would say, you don't have to again, you don't have to put on tooling again. It's just a day, a long day. The other sheikhs that hold, no, you go by locals. When you cross the day line, you went from Sunday to Monday. You need to put on tooling again. You need to have to again. Right? Mamish, the exact opposite psak in this case. Another shiloh. This happened to my uncle. So thank you, sir. Uncle, I had a cousin in Australia, Allah Shalom. She lived a few years ago. Her husband was a native Australian, and she was a teacher for many years. My uncle decided he wants to visit his children, his grandchildren in Australia. He was a Rebbe. He had miles. He called up the airlines and he said, "Give me a Monday night flight or Tuesday night, the first available after the school year ends." I said, "Okay, it's in June." They told him, and I'll make the exact day here. The Monday night, July the 9th. Perfect. What could be wrong? There's no Shabbos. You land Wednesday morning. No problem. In other words, you fly all night from LA. Fly to LA. You board a plane 10:30 at night. You fly all night. Like from Israel, the 1 a.m. flights to New York. Right? You go all night. Sun never comes up until you land in Australia. So, a few weeks later, after he got the ticket, he looks at the calendar and he sees that Tuesday is Shabbos of Thomas. Which means, now think about it, you take off Monday night, where most people are hopping around eating, oh, tomorrow's a tightness, better eat. He lands Wednesday morning in Australia. That's the day after the fast. He never experiences the day of Shabbos of Thomas. Take off Monday night, it's dark the entire flight. The entire flight till the very end, and then by the time the very end comes, it's already Wednesday morning. So I told him, "You're potter. You don't have to fast." because he's not experiencing the day of Shavuos Matanos, and therefore he was potter. He didn't have to fast. What happened? Correct. With Tisha B'Av, you would have some Tisha B'Av. Because the day, in other words, he did not experience the day of Shavuos Matanos. Karl Sheet is right. It just was the day. He just wasn't there. Never happened. What's that? I don't know. Ask the local Orthodox rabbi. Now, this is my favorite case. My favorite case is you have a Bar Mitzvah Bacher. Bar Mitzvah Bacher, and I'm going to use a tiny, just you'll see why in a moment, because of the Kriza Torah. You have a Bar Mitzvah Bacher, he's Bar Mitzvah's youth fest Thomas. Very nice. He's having a Bar Mitzvah in Los Angeles, but they decide that they're going to spend time in Seoul, South Korea. So they go to Seoul, for the Bar Mitzvah. They there Shavuos Matanos. Must say the tightness. Everybody breaks the fast. They go high mazel tov. He's Bar Mitzvah. They board a flight at 10:30 p.m. That flies to LAX. That flight lands in LAX on 6 p.m. on Tuesday. They take off Tuesday night after the fast. It lands 6 p.m. on the tightness in Los Angeles. They proceed to shul. They come to shul, and the Bar Mitzvah Bacher goes to the Gabbai and says, I would like an aliyah. And the Gabbai says to him, one second, I got your Bar Mitzvah invitation, you're having your Bar Mitzvah tomorrow on Yud Ches Tammuz. I cannot give you aliyah. I'm sorry, you're not Bar Mitzvah yet. He says, no, I'm shulding. I'm sorry, you know, I became Bar Mitzvah in South Korea last night, and I returned Bar Mitzvah. So the Shaila is, can you undo the fact that you're Bar Mitzvah? So you flew backwards in time. Right? You flew backwards in time. He became Bar Mitzvah. The Sefer Tarif Yisrael, Rabbi Kaplan in Lakewood, brings a Machalik Zafaiskin on this. He brings a Rabbi Scheinberg, yes, Shaz Rabbi Scheinberg, who said, Eina Chayza Lekatusai. You cannot undo the Bar Mitzvah. He brings a Sefer Yimei Nechemia, who says, Alaskana, you're Chayza Lekatusai. You are ice Gadol. According to Rabbi Scheinberg, once a Gadol, always a Gadol, right? That's it. In other words, you're definitively going to yesterday. The question is, well, maybe it's Tzius. You want to talk about the Cyrus, etc. How to spell. Someone once wanted to say, maybe you lose the Shuma, whatever it is, maybe it's totally in that. But anyway, the Maisa, the Shilas, if you called you a Gadol, he was able to bet, he got my phenomenon, not the kindness. How do you undo it? And I can't get an Aliyah. How did he become a Kohen? The other Shilas that come up relate to Shabbos. Can you take off on a Friday afternoon? It's very negative. People go to Seder, they want to be over Shabbos, but they fly months of Shabbos. So they take up the Shabbos, they don't get there until Monday. Their business, they're Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They leave Thursday afternoon, they lose the whole day. They want to stay Thursday, they want to fly on Friday. So the flight, for example, there's a Cathay Pacific flight, leaves Hong Kong at 4:30 p.m. It lands in LA on Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. Let's assume you do it in the summer, so you're leaving enough pad time at the end. Mutter Rasser. So let's analyze what's happening here. You take off from Hong Kong Arab Shabbos, plane goes up, then the sun goes down. Shabbos. But then you start crossing the date lines. You cross the Chazanish's line at some point, probably earlier than going. Then you cross the middle ones. Then you cross the Shemichon. And now you've gone back from Friday night to Thursday night. Mutter Rasser. So,
you're still going to have Shabbos in Los Angeles.
Correct. But Lemaisa, you're not allowed to take off a flight. You're not allowed to take off or land. You're not allowed to take off or land on Shabbos. That's called. You want to fly to Australia, you cannot take off Thursday night. You can land Shabbos morning. That's awesome. You want to take off Friday night and land Sunday morning. It's awesome. You can't take off on Friday or land. That's clear. Like a boat. But the Shaila is, I'm already on it. It's Mutter Rasser. So the price can amount in this case. They hold it's Mutter. Well, especially with Shabbos Chak, you want to get home. It's Mutter, but you cannot do Malacha in your seat. Because once it's Shabbos, you cannot do Malacha in your seat for that period of time. If you go to the bathroom, you don't want to latch the door shut because you're going to turn the light on.
When you land?
No, before you land. In other words, there's a point in time.
When you land, it's not Shabbos.
Correct. It's Friday. In other words, you took off. You take off at 3 p.m. You took off at 4:30 p.m. Arab Shabbos. You land at Arab Shabbos at 3 p.m. So you take off on Erev Shabbos, you land on Erev Shabbos, but in the middle, the sun went down before you went past the daylight, and now it's Shabbos. That's how you say it. You'd have to do. But Lamaisa, the place can matter, but you cannot do Malacha, and you see, you have to determine exactly, you know, where you're at. The Bar Mitzvah Bachar, in that case, when was his Bar Mitzvah?
Shabbos.
Shabbos, then he would be the same.
Not Shabbos, then he would be.
Right, so then, no, which day was Bar Mitzvah when he took off?
He came Bar Mitzvah
on the plane. Yeah. If Bar Mitzvah on the plane, it'll work. If Bar Mitzvah on the plane. Now, here's a case. Now, you could have the other way also. This is a more complicated. You go Hong Kong to San Francisco, you take off 11:30 p.m. Matzah Shabbos, and you land 9:30 p.m. in San Francisco on Matzah Shabbos. So in this case, you also, what's going to happen here, very interesting, you took off 11:30 p.m. Matzah Shabbos, but now so it's good, Matzah Shabbos, but then when you cross the date line, you're all of a sudden thrown back into Shabbos. You keep flying, and you land Matzah Shabbos. That's another type of case. Well, again, it depends. Oh, here you end up crossing all the shittas. This case, you're going to get yourself into trouble, but the technically it's more. But that's what's behind him. He says, you don't want to take this flight. This flight takes off, you could go LA to Taipei. It takes off 5 p.m. on Friday, and you land Matzah Shabbos in Taipei. Right? You know, you took off 5 p.m. in the summer. You took off from Los Angeles at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on Erev Shabbos, and you flew, and the sun goes down, and it's Shabbos. Shabbos, mamash came out the whole way. And then you land, but you land at night. It's already Matzah Shabbos by the time you land. So you took off Erev Shabbos, you land in Matzah Shabbos, but basically most of your flight was Shabbos. So you have to do Kiddush. You have to do everything with Shabbos on the plane. You basically would spend Shabbos on the plane. Not really such a great idea to do that. Now in the right, it's like the boat. In other words, when you went on the boat, you spent Shabbos on the boat. Here, there are places where Asher say that plane, it's like Shmack, it's not called Shabbos. You spend the whole Shabbos, you won't have a problem. Now I want to finish up. I have 4 minutes left, and I said I was talking about the Arctic Circle. It's really nothing to do about Balmor, right? But once we're ready flying, you should know that when you fly very far north, you very often end up over Arctic regions. So what can happen, for example, if you have a flight from Los Angeles to Tel Aviv, that in the summertime, in June, the longer the flight, and flights are getting longer than ever, they go polar routes, which means they go very far north, and the sun never sets. So you take off from LA in the afternoon, and where normally the sun goes down and comes up, you go so far north, the sun never sets. So you have problems with dominating Myrick, potentially. And here's where the issues come. If you're in Barrow, Alaska, in the summertime, it's the northern part of Alaska, then you're going to have a problem. The place can speak about when to keep Shabbos, when to do what's not Myrick, because what happens is the sun is up for 24 hours, it doesn't set. There's a famous Tarsus Shral in the end of Perek Aleph of the Sefer Brachos says that you go by where you came from. There are other shittas, but I'll tell you that what's could be very negaya is I got a shiloh from someone going to Finland. Very interesting shiloh. He's going to be in a ski resort on December 22nd, and it's just over the Arctic Circle. Just over the Arctic Circle, which means the sun does not rise from December 13th till December 30th. But there's light. There's light. There's light, the sunlight. It's like Benish Moshes. So we went through the whole cheshbon of, here's what happens. There's sunlight from about, normal sunlight from, let's say, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Like 10 minutes after Shkia. So there is yayin. They do experience day, but only for a few hours. And so Shabbos starts there at Chasai Sayayin, which is 12:20. So I told him, okay, you're on Shabbos at 11 a.m. Your wife's going to bench lift at 12 noon. You're going to chap mincha right after Chasais at 12:20, which is after Shkia, quote unquote, but you have no prayer. And Myra, you've got plenty of time to marriage, so that's not a problem. Right? That's certainly not a problem. Right? Certainly not an issue. If you go to Anchorage, Alaska, again, the sun always sets.
Shabbos is 2 hours out?
No, so they're sleeping 24 hours until the next day. Shabbos will be over early. But other areas, again, if you can be in a place where it's totally dark, totally light, you have these different sheets of what to do. But there are yin, they're from a yin who live in Anchorage, Alaska, and St. Petersburg, and Sweden, Stockholm, all these places are very far north, where in the summertime, what happens is, the sun always comes up and sets. The times may be wild. In other words, you have a very early shkia, you have a very late nace, etc. But in the summertime, in Anchorage, the sun goes down at 11:45 p.m. Which means, and it never gets really dark. What happens is it slowly gets dark, and at Chatzais HaLaila, which is at 2 a.m., that's the darkest moment of the night. It's never really so. That's like 25 minutes after Shkia. That's Alis HaShachar also. It's the same moment. Say Sechom Alis HaShachar at the same moment. So Sham is not over till 2:02 a.m. You don't want to go there Shabbat Shabbatamas because your fast is really 24 hours because you're starting out Alis, which is at 2 a.m., and you're ending at Zayis, which is 2 a.m. Maybe there's room to make up with a fast. Shabbos certainly. So if your Shabbos is in Anchorage in July, Plaga Mincha is 9:45 p.m. That means early Shabbos is 9:45 p.m. Then Shki is 11:45. So I would tell people, Daven Meir, 9:45, or 9:50, 9:55. Get up at about, you know, 1:45 to 2 a.m. and repeat Shema, because that's the darkest part of the night. Right? So even if you're not above the Arctic Circle, you could still be in a place where you run into these various shadows. But again, when you fly, there are all sorts of issues where there's no nates, there's no shkia, etc. So one has to be cognizant of these particular times. Thank you very much. And Aslacha Rabba, thank you very much. See you, brother. See you.
Now we're getting it. Wonderful.
The motor's like, where's the motor? Start there.